Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 247 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Still in lockdown and getting through it, you know. I can't believe we're almost at the end of April. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy time, isn't it?
Yes, so. crazy time. So what have you been up to?
Well, on Fox, they had the French version of War of the Worlds. Of course, we had the BBC version. Was that late last year, early this year? I can't remember. But it was before, obviously, the Fox version over here, or yes, the version that's on Fox over here was airing. A lot of people really didn't like the BBC version, but
I never actually watched it. I never got around to it, but I know the reviews were not kind. So
But no, this version aired, it was what, 8 episodes, like a mini series. They both were mini series, and I really liked it. I don't know if fan is the right word to use for War of the Worlds. I haven't read any of the books. I've seen the Tom Cruise film from, I think, 2005 or 6 or whenever that was. A good few years ago, and I thought that was all right as well. Like the slight sort of change they made with this, where you have sort of these little almost dog robots, I want to sort of call them, but they look a lot sort of like the Black Mirror episode kind of creatures that are out there as well. I thought it was really good. I thought it was interesting as well because it was scattered across different places as well, and I thought they managed it well with screen time and everything that they were doing there. I thought that the fight scenes or running away scenes were really good, and it was cool to see sort of as the series went on how sort of smart these little robots were. They could like open doors and do some other stuff as well. And there was a lot of sort of different characters, just like varied, completely different characters that are in there. There's this one thing going on with the daughter and the brother for one of the families, which I thought was really interesting, and how that connected to everything up until sort of the end game of the show. I thought the ending was all right. I thought it was you can kind of draw your own conclusion from it in some way, but we got somewhat of an answer of sort of what happened at the end, which I thought was good as well. But
I just to correct you there, it's been billed as a mini series in a lot of places, but I don't think that's actually correct.
Oh, okay.
I
thought it was.
Yeah, no. I mean, they are talking about the possibility of doing a second season for it.
Oh, cool.
It's a co-production between Fox and, a bunch of European people, but Canal Plus, which is the big French company, are the two main people behind it. But there have been reports of them looking at the possibility of doing a second season. And certainly where I thought where it ended, yes, there were a few answers, but nowhere near as many as you want. I don't think it was ever really planned as a mini series, and I'm not sure why it was sort of billed that way. But yeah, so I think it's going to come back again. I don't think it's officially been confirmed for a second season yet, but I think there is a good chance that they will bring it back. Things like this, when they're created across a big group of different producers in different countries, they tend to take a little bit longer for them to get renewals because it's got to show in all the territories and stuff before renew anything. But I think there's a fairly good chance that we'll actually get a second season of that. Because I thought where it ended, it was like that was there's no way they set that up as a mini series. That's got to be planned as a multiple series thing, but we'll see. I mean, there's certainly reports out there saying that they are looking at a second season, so hopefully that will be back again.
Cool. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. Did you like it?
Yeah, well? I thought it was really solid. You know, Howard Overman is a fabulous writer, and it's much darker than the stuff you usually expect for him, because he did things like Misfits and Crazy Head, and they've always had this kind of comical edge to them, and this really didn't in any way, shape or form. So it's a really interesting project from him, and I really like him as a writer, and I thought he's done a fabulous job with this. So I will be disappointed if they don't bring that back, because I definitely think there is more story to tell there.
So next thing I did is obviously I've been playing the multiplayer for Call of Duty, but I decided to start the campaign because there is of course a single player campaign as well. On last year's Call of Duty, I think it was Black Ops 3 or 4, I can't remember, the one that came out the year before didn't actually have a single player campaign because they thought about putting the Battle Royale, zombies and multiplayer, so that was the three modes last year. But for this Call of Duty, the Modern Warfare one, they got a campaign in there, and it's interesting as well because obviously I've spent quite a bit of time on the maps and some of the locations and that, and it's interesting going through the campaign and sort of seeing like you walk through different parts of the map, and then there's certain places where like there's no walls or there's added walls, or that there's areas that are sort of open and closed depending on the mission and stuff. Like there was this one particular I think it's called Ramaza, the map, and there's this mission that you do, and you walk with one of the characters right back to where you normally spawn at the start of a round.
Right.
And there's this like whole open area there where there's a whole other sort of section. And then there's this way they somehow do it in the story to where like you go through there, you go right the way around to the left because you're like running away from someone else or something. And you end up in a different part of the map that I sort of recognized. So it's been quite cool to go, not with every single mission. Some missions are just out in deserts and all these other abandoned sort of places. But some of the missions do take place in some of the actual maps. Like there's a big mission in Piccadilly. Piccadilly is one of the maps on the game, and it's pretty much a shot for shot sort of remake of the real actual Piccadilly. Obviously there's certain buildings and things that are changed and stuff like that. There's actually a video I watched on YouTube where this person had this side by side of like taking control of just a character in an open version of the map and walking through, and then someone like filmed Piccadilly and then they put it side by side, and that was really cool to kind of see. Obviously certain like billboards and stuff like that have been changed. And the certain doors and areas that are closed or open or whatever. No, it's really cool to essentially kind of go through some of the maps and then some new areas, but with story and characters there. So I thought that's been really good. There's some pretty sad missions in there as well. There's a lot of emphasis on like suicide bombers and things like that, especially the Piccadilly mission as well. There's some sad stuff that sort of happens in there, especially with certain like hostage situations and things. It's interesting as well because there's certain areas you can go into and basically someone will be holding like a couple of people hostage. If you get in there quick enough and shoot the guy before he shoots the hostages, you can save these. They're all like red shirts essentially, but these little sort of like citizens that are there, but you can kind of go in there and save them if you can. And there was a couple of times, it's obviously going through the first time, I didn't know where these characters were going to be in that. And there was a couple of times where I like just about failed to save someone, so I sort of restarted the mission and went through and made sure I sort of saved as many people as you can. There's certain areas that are like a lot more scripted to where someone is going to get shot or blown up and you can't do anything about it, but some of the areas where like there'll be people on their knees and stuff and you can go in and save them has been, I don't know if fun is the word to use, but very interesting. But and there'll be situations as well where like you'll have your normal enemies that you shoot and stuff, and then you'll get people that run out with a vest that's got lights on, we'll just say that, and the game advises you, okay, you have to shoot them in the head, because if you shoot their body obviously the bomb will go off and stuff. But that's been, because certain areas are like, oh, we'll just go through this door and then someone charges through the door and sort of blows me up or whatever. But it's been pretty fun, kind of sad, but they've got I don't know how many people are aware of the character, but this is a reboot in quotes of the Modern Warfare series, because they did have a story through Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3, and this is a new kind of story, but they brought one of the characters back called Captain Price, and you're playing as someone new. So he sort of come, he doesn't really discuss like what happens in the past and that, it's not that connected, but it's just him sort of coming back, which has been quite good. I don't know how long I got left, but I've done like 8 or 9 missions, and they're not sort of long games, they're sort of 3 to 5 hours.
To be fair, the whole point of Call of Duty is not really the single player campaign, is it really?
They're usually nice sort of short games, so I should be finishing that sometime soon. But good stuff on that. Doom Eternal is the next thing I sort of started, and it's been quite a lot of fun. And even within like the first 2 to 3 hours, they just give you weapon after weapon, and like, you know, you've got shotguns and all these other guns and grenades and
that's
stuff.
That's what you want.
There's even this part where I had this attachment for either my assault rifle or shotgun, where it's like you can turn the rounds into grenade launchers, and then about half an hour later, it was like, okay, you can have that, and then you can have like another mechanical thing that like shoots grenades. So I've got two things that can shoot grenades at the same time, which is quite cool. But you'll need all that stuff, so all the enemies that come at you and things like that.
Yes.
The glory kills are pretty fun to do. And one of the interesting mechanical, because this is my first time going through a Doom game properly. I played sort of the demo of the 2016 Doom, but this is my first time properly doing a Doom campaign. Of course, this is a game that's going back years. It's sort of like you use your chainsaw to not fuel your shotgun, but you use a chainsaw, and when you get a chainsaw kill on certain particular enemies, they release ammo, and then that ammo sort of fills up your shotgun, and then you sort of use that until you get your chainsaw stuff back. So it's sort of like using one and then sort of swapping, if you know what I mean. And then obviously if you've not got any fuel for your chainsaw, you can switch to your many other guns that you've got, or your grenades or whatever, and it's been pretty fun. So the only thing that sort of is just a bit of a different sort of play style kind of thing, because I've played obviously a lot of Call of Duty and I'm used to sort of running and sliding and jumping, you don't really move the same way as you jump around a lot, but you don't do any sort of running or sliding or anything like that. And I've just had to sort of get used to the differences there in movement, because I'm sort of like, oh, I'm going to run here and then jump. It's like, oh no, I can't run. So, but you get given more than enough weapons to be able to work your way through. So yeah, it's been pretty fun.
I've not tried Doom Eternal yet. I'm not a huge FPS player, but I may go and have a go at it at some point. I mean, I played the original Doom because I'm that old. I may go and have a look at it at some point. I think Bex is streaming it as well on her Twitch stream as well. He's certainly one of the games she's been playing. So you can go and check that out over on Trista Bytes as well, if you want to go and look for that.
Cool. And then there's two other notes I wanted to just sort of add. The Rise of Skywalker, the last Star Wars film, is going to be on Disney Plus on May 4th. And Disney Plus is now on Now TV boxes and the Smart Sticks as well. So
good.
If anybody's been, you know, those two things kind of go hand in hand. But if you've been waiting for that on Now TV, I put a tweet out about like, oh, is anybody sort of aware of this? Because Now TV and Disney Plus themselves didn't like promote that. I found out through basically a Disney Plus Facebook group that I was in. Someone said that they worked for, I think it was Sky or something. And they said, oh, on the 26th of April, the thing was going to be added. I was like, huh, why isn't Now TV and Sky kind of
pushing that? Yeah,
pushing that. But that's been added as well, because Gray tweeted at me. It's like, where the hell is it? I was like, it's in the TV and film section, like right at the bottom. So it was a little bit buried on there as well,
right?
So you can go and download that as well. Yeah, because he was talking about like he was having to use his laptop and like hook it up to the TV or something.
Now
it's a lot easier to use on there. So
yeah
that's pretty much what I've been up to.
That's awesome. I'm glad it's actually on Now TV. Just makes life a lot easier for people. I don't think it's shown up on the LG store yet, because it's supposed to be on the LG store, and it's certainly, I mean, whether it ever will on mine, I don't know. But then I get it through the Skybox, so I get it through Sky directly anyway, which is easy. And I've also got a Roku stick, and it's on that as well, so it can get it through both those. It's fairly easy to get hold of.
Apple TV still isn't on like consoles or Now TV boxes or anything.
No, it is on the Roku, some of the Roku sticks, not the older ones, some of the newer Roku sticks.
Right.
You can get it on.
It's not on consoles yet either, though.
No, so. Which is weird. I'm surprised they've not actually released the app that widely yet, which is a shame, because there's some good stuff on Apple TV.
So yeah, if you go to the App Store, Film and TV, and then at the bottom of that, you should find Disney Plus. So
there you go. Yeah. So for me, gaming wise, I've kind of stepped a little bit away from Fallout 76. I'm enjoying some of it. Certainly this latest Wastelander update is a vast improvement on what it was. What I'm not enjoying as much is basically the fact that it's a multiplayer, not to do with any of the other players. That doesn't bother me one way or another. The problem is because it's a multiplayer, you can't mod it in any way. Like with the last Fallout game, it was great because people were releasing loads of extra things to the Steam store, and you had loads of things that you could tweak and play around with and all that sort of stuff. Because this is a big online game, obviously they're not allowing people to do that, because if you could do that, you could put in cheats and other stuff, which means that there's a lot of legwork in terms of trying to get caps, you know, which are the currency for Fallout. So trying to get like more caps so you can buy stuff. There are ways of doing it in terms of like doing speedruns through cap stashes where NPCs have stored stats. There's like maps online of speedruns you can do through certain areas where there are lots of cap stashes, or you can go and farm certain things. But it's a bunch of like extra legwork, and I just can't be bothered. I really want to play through the story, but it's all the other stuff that you've got to do to be able to get to the point where you can play through more of the story. And I'm just finding that a little bit of a grind. So it is sort of the fact that it is a multiplayer game that's kind of bothering me more than anything else. And for some people, that will be absolutely fine. And, you know, you can team up with friends and you can do things that way if you want to do that. It was starting to annoy me that I was running out of money all the time. So, yeah, it's there. And like I say, this version of it is certainly much better. I still think it's horrifically overpriced for a game which, you know, there are other games out there like Star Trek Online where the main game is free and then you buy stuff in the game. That's their model. And whilst I don't mind paying a little bit out for the initial game, this is like a full price thing. Plus they have a story game as well, and I struggle a little with that. Plus it's still quite buggy in places. I mean, I've had more crashes in that game than I have in anything else recently. I mean, I know you sent me a link for something where every time they fix something, they break something else. And yeah. They had an issue when I first started. There was an issue with none of the player vendor machines. You can have your own little camp and you can put a vendor in there that you can sell stuff to other players. And the player vendors had stopped working and they put in a hot fix to fix that and introduced a bug around the same time that meant that some of the NPCs were stealing stuff off the players, which is not good. So, you know, every time they introduce something that fixes something, it seems to break something else, which is terrible. So,
Has this game ever not had problems? I don't think it has.
No, there's always been something.
And even things outside the games, like the helmets and the bags and... For the special editions and things.
So yeah, it's annoying, but it's there. And I mean, there is some fun to be had out of it. And certainly, as I say, the Wastelander update is a vast, vast improvement on what it was. But I'm finding it a bit of a grind at the moment, so I've kind of stepped away from it. The game that came out this week, though, that I've been playing more of, XCOM Chimera Squad, which is a new expansion to, well, not an expansion, it's a new standalone game. It's the new version of XCOM. It's cheaper and slightly smaller in scope than some of the other XCOM games, but it's still the same turn-based tactical mechanics that you have in the original XCOMs and, you know, the more recent XCOMs. Have you ever played any of the XCOM games? I don't know whether that's...
I did actually rent, because of course I use my rental thing that I've been using for a while, and I had it as a bonus game. XCOM 2, I played it for a little bit and it just didn't really click with me, but I could recognize why people would want to play it and stuff. There was nothing wrong with the game. Like it was a good
just
game.
Not your sort of thing. Now, I mean, I really like these sort of games and I loved the other XCOMs. So I've been really enjoying playing through this. This one, as I say, slightly smaller in scope. Interesting little changes in that in previous XCOM games, your squad members have effectively been kind of nameless faces and they die fairly easily. And in this one, the storyline is more attached to some of the squad members, so they're all named and they're voiced as well. So you get these kind of illustrated conversations that go on between some of the squad members. The setting is after XCOM 2, and you're essentially a sort of elite peacekeeping squad in a city called City 31, and you're going after these various groups that are various kind of movements that are trying to disrupt the peace, basically, in the city. Your squad is a mixture of humans and aliens and people with psi powers and stuff. And the mechanics are generally the same, although there are a few little differences. You start the campaigns in what they call breach mode, where you can have various ways of breaching into whatever the building or the location is. And you get certain kind of bonuses at the start if you breach in certain particular ways. So that's quite good fun. The missions tend to be split over anything from 1 to 3 sections as well. So you'll breach into one room, clear that, and then you'll breach into the next room and clear that. It's a really solid story. I'm enjoying playing through it. If you like other XCOM games, this is certainly worth picking up. It's a lot cheaper than the others as well. And there seems to be quite a lot of gameplay in there for a game which is randomly quite a lot cheaper. I don't know what platforms it's available on. I think it's Windows only at the moment, but certainly worth picking up if you've got a Windows machine and you like those sort of turn-based shooter games. Chimera Squad's definitely one worth looking out for. I would thoroughly recommend going and picking that up. TV-wise, we need to talk about the episode of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist this week, because it was absolutely phenomenal. I thought really, really solid. It was called Zoe's Extraordinary Glitch. And for those of you out there that haven't seen the show, from the start, go and watch it. But the basic premise of it is Zoe is this character who there's an incident and she can now hear the deepest thoughts of other people through song and dance routines that are sort of performed around her. And people sing their feelings to her and she's the only one that can see it. Zoe's Extraordinary Glitch switches that. So she is basically performing her inner feelings to other people, except when she does it, everybody can see it. The episode touches on a bunch of really interesting stuff. She gets some bad news about her father at the start of the episode. Her father's been very sick since the very first episode, so that's not giving anything away, but she gets some news about her father, and that sends her into this sort of tailspin, which is the thing that sort of flips her powers. It's just a beautifully written episode, and the way she expresses things to people, I just thought was phenomenal. I know you've been heaping praise on this series and sort of call it the new Good Place for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I still stand by those words and everything. I thought this episode this week was fantastic. Basically, last week on TV Talk, I was praising it a lot with Bex and Robert on there. And then, of course, we've had another episode since then, this episode David's talking about, which is 108, season one, episode 8. The show just continues to keep impressing me and, you know, other people as well. Gray also on, I think it was Thursday morning, tweeted about, like, he'd seen episode 8, again the same one that we're talking about here, and he said it was incredible as well. Just hope that this show gets renewed, because obviously, like you said, I think it was last week, that it's one of the shows that's kind of on the bubble on that. But I'll keep singing its praises as long as it keeps being good. And yeah, it's kind of been that replacement for me for The Good Place, which is something that I didn't think I would find quite so quickly, I suppose, because The Good Place only ended earlier this year, so it hasn't even been that long. But it gives me the same type of feels and makes me feel good in the same type of ways. Very, very different show, obviously.
But yes.
Like, lots of different things happening, but still really, really good and really continuing its momentum. And it's delivered a couple of near perfect episodes this season. I think this one and probably last week's were ones that I'd give those two. So I'd say the only episode that's off possibly a bit is probably the pilot, but then that's where you're setting things up, and that's not always as easy to do. But once that's still a great episode, but I don't think it's as good as the other seven that we've had. But then, you know, the other seven episodes have been really phenomenal. So yeah, it's really great stuff. I look forward to it every week. And hey, it's only two more days till we get another episode.
I can't recommend this show highly enough, and particularly if you're missing The Good Place, this is quite a good alternative, I think, to that. As you say, gives you that same sort of kind of nice, enjoyable, fuzzy feel that you get with some of the Good Place episodes. But there are some heartbreaking things in it as well, but it handles them really well. And I think what it does, particularly with the relationship between Zoe and her father, it talks about quite major issues in quite a light and clever way. And certainly episode 8, the one that we've just been talking about, I think does it in such a beautiful and wonderful way. Somebody who's been through issues like that with parents, this really hit home for me, and I just thought this was beautiful and so well put together. Really, if you're not watching Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, go and pick it up now. It's I'm assuming it's all up on All Four at the moment.
I think all the episodes will be. They do expire after a certain time, don't they? But go and have a look on there. All Four is free, of course. So go and check that out. That's Wednesdays at 10, on E4. So that's when the weekly episodes are. And if you're in the US, it's on NBC and probably some other app as well.
Yes, yeah. So the fact that it's on NBC and they've not got The Good Place anymore, it's one of those that, although it is a bubble show, I'm kind of hoping they see the value in renewing it. Its numbers are sort of middle of the road. It's not like right at the bottom, I don't think. It is very much in the middle. And I hope NBC see the value in renewing it, because it fills an interesting hole in the TV.
Maybe they should move it because they got it on Sunday nights, and Sunday nights in the US are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
the amount of stuff that's on. I mean, you're talking like the big AMC, HBO stuff, and just a whole bunch of other things as well.
Yeah, hopefully NBC decide to renew it and keep it around. Afterlife as well came back this week. I've only had a chance to watch the first episode so far. I know you've seen the whole season. I thought the first episode was great. I'm assuming the rest of the season is as good as the first season was.
Yeah, really enjoyed the second season a lot. It kind of attempts to move things on. And what I mean by that is, of course, the issues that you've got in the show, you can't move on from them that simply.
Yes.
But the characters try to, if you get what I mean, the characters try to move on from other things, specifically Tony, Ricky Gervais's character. And I think he's done another masterpiece, another work of art. I mean, this season absolutely flew by for me.
Yeah.
I sort of realized, oh, I'm on episode 4. Oh, I'm halfway through the season, and then like finished episode 4. Oh, I've only got 2 left. And then it just kept going and going. One of the few shows that manages to talk about serious issues that matter and does it in a really, really incredible way. Another great season of TV from Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. I thought that it's interesting because the first season, as you say, Ricky's character, Tony, was basically angry at the world and was determined to show it to everybody and sort of, was determined to just be a dick to people and just fight back. Whereas this season, they kind of reset that in a certain way of him like, yes, there is a certain amount of that, but he's trying to be better. So I rather like the way that they've kind of slightly shifted it for this second season, and it's not just that again. It's really good. I enjoyed the first episode very much. I would have gone on to watch more of it. I'd be working my way through Manifest, which is the next thing that I actually have completed. I was quite a way through that season because that's all up on demand on Sky at the moment. I enjoy Manifest quite a lot. I know that's again another bubble show. I actually think, yes, it's a bit budget lost. There is a certain amount of that to it. But I think it's incredibly watchable. It's nicely put together. It's got a good little mystery in there. And they end it in a... I'm obviously not going to spoil what happens or anything like that, but they end it in a really interesting place to set it up for a third season. And I kind of want to see where it goes. So I do hope they actually renew it. But it could go either way at the moment. Have you watched any of these? You watched season 1, didn't you? I think
I watched some episodes of season 1, and then to avoid spoiling things, they did something, and I thought that it was the show's way of telling me it wasn't going to give answers. I could have been wrong about that because I haven't seen episodes past that, and of course there's another entire season, so I will possibly go back to it. But at the time, with what they did, which I can't spoil in any way, shape, or I can't even spoiler-free describe what they did because it would spoil something, but they made a decision early in the first season, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm surprised you went that way, and that kind of tells me that you're going to do something. Do something else with the show. So yeah. It's one that I'm open to going back to. I've kept hearing good things about it. Robert said good things about it as well, and just sort of generally on the line. I've heard sort of very middle of like, okay, this is good watchable television. It's not like awful. It's not excellent. It's just somewhere in the middle. So
that's exactly what I would say about it. If you like those sort of mystery things, it's not like got the gravitas of something like Lost had, but it is in that kind of same vein, I guess, of a big kind of overarching mystery. You're never entirely sure of exactly what's going on and why the passengers are back and the things that are affecting them. Still not really revealed, but you're getting kind of little bits and pieces as you go along. But it's very watchable. It's not outstanding, but it's not bad either. It's just very enjoyable, watchable TV show. The whole of season 2 is up on Sky right now if you want to go and watch that on demand. Presumably it's on Now TV as well. And Emergence was another one. Again, it's another bubble show from ABC. This was one that we said very early on, I bet that only runs for one season. We still don't know whether that's going to be the case yet. But I've watched the first episode. That is out now. It's running on Fox over here. Stars Alison Tolman, who you'll know from things like Fargo, and she is a sheriff of this little town. There is a plane crash and she discovers this little girl at a crash site, and clearly there is something going on with this little girl. And as you've seen in probably in the trailers and stuff, there is people that are out to get her, and there is this mysterious shadowy group that seems to be trying to chase after her for some unknown reasons. That's the sort of potential setup for it. It's not massively original in that setup, but again, it's well acted. It's reasonably well put together. I'm intrigued to see where they go with it. It's another one of those a bit like Manifest. It's kind of, you know, it's perfectly fine as it is. It's whether it's going to be worth kind of renewing will depend on what happens in the first season. And we've only seen the first episode over here, so I don't know yet. But certainly it's one that I'm going to keep on watching, I think.
Yeah, I saw the pilot when it came out last week on Fox. I really, really enjoyed it. I was going in expecting something pretty good, and it exceeded my expectations. I didn't expect, like, you know, best show I've ever seen or worst show, kind of just, you know, good expectations. But I thought it was really, really great. I love the fact that because there's several different powers that this girl shows in the first episode. And I'm like, okay, I found it really interesting that we don't know what she's even capable of doing at the moment. Like, you know, we have to wait and see what she can kind of do in future episodes. But yeah, really like the sort of relationship that sort of developed in the first episode between this officer and this little girl, and this group that's after her, and how she's going to be able to protect her, or can she, you know, just protect herself. And also there's a really great Toy Story reference in the pilot, and I really enjoyed that as well.
Yes. So, yeah, I spotted that as well. Yeah, she's wearing a Toy Story t-shirt and they make a comment about it, and I was like, oh, it's an ABC show. Yes. So yeah. I thought that was quite funny. And it's nice to see Donald Faison on screen, because you've not seen that much of him since Scrubs. He was one of the two main cast in Scrubs. Oh yeah, by the way, Scrubs, if you're a fan of that show, all of Scrubs is on All Four, apparently. I don't know whether they've put it up yet, but it's certainly going to be up there. They've bought the right to stream Scrubs. So if you're a fan of Scrubs, that is all going to be up on there as well. The other new show this week was Lincoln Ryan's Hunt for the Bone Collector, which is another new police procedural thing. I quite enjoyed this. I don't know whether you've caught this one yet.
No.
So it's based on a book. There was a movie version as well. It stars Russell Hornsby, who you will know from shows like Grimm, he was in, and he's been in other things like The Affair as well, but he plays Lincoln Rhyme. Lincoln Rhyme is a criminologist who is bedridden after he had an altercation with this criminal called the Bone Collector, who was a serial killer. The opening episode is basically chasing a person that they think is the return of the Bone Collector, and there is this intuitive rookie who gets involved in the case and sort of becomes Lincoln's eyes and ears. And I think previously they'd had, when we've seen this done, I think in the movie version, she had, I think it was Angelina Jolie that played the kind of rookie cop, and she had an earpiece in. In this version, because it's far more modern, she's wearing a vest that has a camera on the front and back. So she literally is his kind of eyes and ears, and means that he can kind of stay in bed and she gets to kind of go out and run around. And it's got sort of elements of Sherlock to it, I would say. There's some kind of nice, light-hearted little bits in as well. And it's got quite a lot about the relationship between Lincoln and Amelia, who is the young cop. You've got Michael Imperioli in there from The Sopranos. He's playing veteran NYPD detective, and he was Lincoln's former partner as well. Only one episode in right now. I think this is a perfectly solid, decent procedural, and it's an interesting kind of setup. They've got a whole set of books, I think, that they can go off for this. So yeah, but certainly off to a good start, and I think going to be one that's worth going back and watching. So that's all the stuff we've been watching this week. Let's move on to some more TV and film news.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. One renewal, one cancellation this week. Renewal is Westworld, which is, as you mentioned, we just finished recording the Westworld podcast. Literally, you're just about to put it live or just put it live and they announced that Westworld had been renewed for a full season. So yeah, typical that. But Westworld will be back. I don't think that should come as a huge shock to anybody, particularly that that's still going. I don't think they're going to cancel that. It will, I think, come to a natural conclusion at some point. I don't know how many more seasons it's got in it, but I mean, I'm certainly enjoying this current season. I think it's doing a good job. They've taken it in an interesting direction with the third season, so I'm looking forward to that coming back again.
But yeah, it's great. We've really enjoyed this season. The sort of all the twisty turny sort of mystery stuff that we've done and what's going on with Caleb and Dolores has been a big highlight, and there's been some surprises this season as well, like with William and stuff. But I think it's a show that's probably going to come to, like you said, a natural conclusion on HBO. I'd say, you know, around five or six seasons, I think we'll do it for that sort of show.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see whether they decide whether the full season is the last or whether it goes to a fifth or maybe a sixth. But I think you're probably looking at maybe around somewhere between four, five and six. I think you're probably looking at for that. I don't think it's going to be one that goes on for like 10 seasons or anything. The cancellation is Turn Up Charlie, which is a Netflix show from Idris Elba, and I never actually watched it. I have no idea whether it was any good or not. It seemed like a bit of a vanity project for Idris Elba, and that seems to be the general opinion of it. It was fine, but it wasn't anything particularly outstanding, and they've decided they're not going to pick it up for a second season. So it's there for one season if you want to go watch it on Netflix. In terms of other things, a new version of The Last Leg is coming back. They've announced on Channel 4 this is called The Last Leg Lockdown Under. It's going to premiere on Friday the 8th of May at 10 p.m. and it's going to be four episodes where they're attempting a TV first. This is going to be three hosts in three different locations at the same time on a live show. They are getting people to tweet in with the Is It Okay hashtag, which they use on that show. So it's going to be Adam is back in Melbourne at the moment. Then you've got Josh in London and Alex is in Huddersfield. So they're going to be doing live link ups with the three of them in completely different locations. It's basically going to be The Last Leg, but with them around the world. So that's going to be interesting. It's probably going to be the middle of the night for Adam if that's in Australia as well. So that's going to be an interesting one. But I do love that show. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that works. There's a lot of things out there that are managing to get through this by doing things remotely, and some are working better than others. I know in America the second episode of the SNL on lockdown has gone out now, and it's gone out over here as well. I haven't actually watched it yet. That seems to be improving as they kind of find their feet and work out how to do it. So that's going down fairly well. E4 has also set premiere dates for Rick and Morty season 4 part 2, and finally the Harley Quinn series has got an air date as well. They're both coming on the 7th of May, one straight after the other. I think it's 9 and 9:30 or 10 and 10:30, I can't remember. But so they're coming on the 7th of May, so you can watch those. I've seen the first episode of the Harley Quinn one. It's brilliant, that animated series. It's very much an adult Harley Quinn, so don't let your small children watch it. It's really inappropriate. It's most definitely an adult version of it. She's quite sweary in it. It's Kaylee Cuoco doing the voice for Harley. It is brilliant and definitely worth watching. And of course, Rick and Morty is, well, Rick and Morty, and that's awesome as well. There was another self-isolating coronavirus show that popped up completely by surprise on Apple, Fraggle Rock. There is a thing called Fraggle Rock Rock On, which is a little sort of 10-minute episodes, and it's the Fraggles doing sing-along things in isolation, voiced by all the people that usually voice the Fraggles. I don't know whether you remember that, the Fraggles, or whether that was sort of out of your childhood by then.
No, that doesn't ring a bell.
Fraggles, basically, they were a sort of offshoot of Muppets, and they lived on Fraggle Rock, and they had these little green characters that were called dozers, that were the people that kind of built all the things that the Fraggles protocols used. And the idea for this is the Dozers have built this communication system. So even though the Fraggles are all isolated in their individual caves, they can now talk and sing with each other. And it's really cute and it's lovely. And if you want to go watch that, it is on Apple TV Plus as well. It's called Fraggle Rock, Rock On. You can go and catch that. And Parks and Recreation cast are also doing a one-off isolation show as well. They're going to be getting back together. That is all recorded individually with the almost the entire Parks and Rec cast are going to be there and involved with it. And it's all going to be led by Amy Poehler's character basically calling the others and checking in and seeing how they're doing. So they're recording that as a one-off special all in isolation, which I think is quite cool as well. Parks and Rec's one of those shows that I haven't actually got round to watching yet, and everybody tells me how good it is. I need to go and catch up with it.
Yeah, me too. I need to go and watch that as well. I think that's on Amazon.
I think it is, yes.
On Now TV, I think, as well.
Yeah, so. It's certainly around, so definitely one to worth going to try and catch up with. Moving on to other news stories, there's a potentially a new female-led Star Wars series in the works from Leslie Headland, who was one of the co-creators of Russian Doll. This story dropped out last week that she is apparently developing this female-centric series. Not much is known about it at the moment. All they've said is it takes place in a different part of the Star Wars timeline to the other projects. So it's not going to be necessarily directly connected to any of the films or The Mandalorian. So it's not like one of the spin-off series that they've been talking about from The Mandalorian. It is going to be its own thing. Leslie Headland apparently is a huge Star Wars nerd, which is awesome. So somebody did an interview with her and I think asked her what's her favourite Star Wars movie, and she says there isn't a Star Wars movie, there is only Star Wars. It is a universe, and I would just kill for the opportunity to play around in it. So she now has that opportunity. She was co-creator with Natasha Lyonne, who also starred in Russian Doll. She co-created the show with her and Amy Poehler. That is part of her background. She's written on Black Monday and Smilf and a whole bunch of other things as well. The Bachelorette movie. Russian Doll, if you've not watched that series, go and watch it. It was nominated for 13 Emmys. It was a brilliant, brilliant series. I'm really intrigued to see what she might do in the Star Wars universe. I don't know what it'll be, but I'm very interested to see what she comes up with.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good idea. I think, yeah, you know, having another female lead and having someone, you know, a female kind of in charge in that, because obviously we've just had JJ and Ryan in charge of the new trilogy. And of course you had, is it Jon Favreau? For the Mandalorian. So yeah, switching it up a bit and having a female in charge might change things and make them better or have a change of pace in there. I think that Star Wars has got a very bright future, seemingly, on Disney Plus, if the Mandalorian is anything to go by. You know, just because, you know, some people didn't like the new trilogy doesn't mean that Star Wars is dead, you know.
No.
You've got other things you can make. There's a whole galaxy's worth of characters. We've just had one season of Mandalorian. I think adding this in there for something else might be pretty cool as well. We've also got the Rogue One prequel series as well.
Yeah,
at
there's,
some point.
There's a couple of things that they've already announced, which is the Obi-Wan series with Ewan McGregor, the Cassian Andor series, which is taking Diego Luna's character from Rogue One, and that's going to be in there as well. They announced that along with Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk, who did the voice of, I can't remember the robot's name, but voiced the robot in Rogue One, they're both coming back. Genevieve O'Reilly, who played the rebel leader Mon Mothma, she is going to be appearing in it as well, apparently. And Denise Goff, who is a relative newcomer, she's going to be in it as well. So they've announced some extra casting for that. I'm looking forward to this. I think that could be a great show. Obviously, I'm looking forward to Obi-Wan as well. I think having Ewan McGregor back in a sort of older version of that role would be quite interesting as well. And I'm all up for more Star Wars. And I know they've said it's going to be out of the cinemas for a little while. I mean, obviously everything's out of the cinemas at the moment, but they're going to be concentrating on doing some TV shows for Disney Plus, and that's where Star Wars will live for a little while. And I'm absolutely fine with that. I think as long as they're throwing money at it, which is what they seem to be doing with The Mandalorian has been brilliant. Perfectly happy if that's how they keep Star Wars alive for a little bit until they decide to go back to doing movies. You know, I think it's a big epic saga, and those big epic sagas work well as long form series. It's possibly the better way to do it, maybe. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that they can play around with. I mean, with them saying it's set in a different part of the Star Wars timeline, it could mean that we maybe go back to some Old Republic stuff. That would be kind of interesting. We've already had one bounty hunter, so I do wonder whether they'll go back to using Jedi or Sith. We'll have to wait and see. We don't know at the moment.
I mean, there's so many things you could do. You've got a galaxy full of characters. It doesn't have to be Jedis and Skywalkers.
No.
So, yeah, you can move on from the Skywalker saga that we've had and tell some, you know, Mandalorian and all these other different stories that we got. So
yeah,
should
yeah.
be good.
There's a lot you can do with it there. Moving on, BBC Two has added a bunch of comedies, new isolation comedies we're referring to them as. One of which, or the biggest one, I think, which will keep people very, very happy, is Charlie Brooker is coming back for something which at the moment it has the working title as Antiviral Wipe, which I rather like. This is the first time that he's come back to do one of his Wipe series since the 2016 one, because he's been tied up doing Black Mirror in between. And I'm very, very happy to have him come back and do this, because it's going to be stuff around the virus and we need this right now. They're brilliant, brilliant shows that. And it's only going to be a one-off. It's going to be one episode, unfortunately, but I'm still quite happy to see it. But it's going to have the other characters involved in it as well. So you're going to get all the regular stuff that we've had on Wipes previously are going to be in that. And it's only a half hour one-off show. But he helpfully added, the BBC asked me to supply a quote for the press release, which is what you're reading now. That was the quote for the press release he released with it. So yes, Charlie Brooker being Charlie Brooker. The other things that they've announced is Comedians Playing With Themselves, which is a series. I think they're fairly short episodes. They're like 15-minute episodes. But this is featuring people like Bob Mortimer, Kerry Goodliman, Tom Allen, Mira Sial, Sanjeev Bhaskar, Russell Kane, Matt Horn, a whole bunch of other people as well. They've basically gone to a bunch of comedians and said, film yourself doing something for 15 minutes. and they said it's anything from like coping with stroppy teenagers to isolating as a couple and avoiding arguments to finding new sports to play to perfecting a podcast to whatever they want to do. So it's each comic self-shooting these little 10-15 minute videos, and then they're going to get put together as this thing called Comedians Playing With Themselves. I think this is a rather lovely idea. I mean, it's basically taking what a load of people have been doing on YouTube and like social media recently and getting some comedians to do it, pretty much.
Yeah, sounds like it'll be a good kind of fun thing for them to do. You got a lot of talented names in there, which I think will be quite good. And yeah, little things like this is some stuff that we need right now. So yeah. Should be good.
The other one is a commission called Squeamish About, and it's from cult comedian Matt Berry, who's one of the people in What We Do in the Shadows and a whole bunch of other things as well, and Arthur Matthews, who was a writer on Toast of London, which was also Matt Berry's show, and Father Ted as well. It will shine a weird and wonderful light onto a different topic each week. It's presented by Berry in the persona of Michael Squeamish. Each episode makes creative use of archive footage and voiceover to create a unique, authored and surreally comic take on whatever the subject matter is. So yes, I think that sounds suitably silly and could be quite good fun. The idea of using archive footage and then him doing silly voiceovers that sort of try and explain what's going on, I think could be quite entertaining as well. Matt Berry's quite interesting and a fun, different comedian with his surreal stuff. So I think that could be quite good. All of three of those shows will land at some point in the next couple of months on BBC Two, but we don't know when, so we'll see. And last news story we have, Apple has ordered a limited series called The Shrink Next Door, starring Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd. It's directed by Michael Showalter, who was the director of The Big Sick and The Lovebirds. It's based on a script by Emmy and Golden Globe, BAFTA and WGA award winner Georgina Pritchett, who has written on Succession and Veep. It's a dark comedy inspired by true events that detail the bizarre relationship between between psychiatrist to the stars, Dr. Isaac Ike Hirschkopf, played by Paul Rudd, and his longtime patient, Marty Markowitz, played by Will Farrell. Over the course of their relationship, the all-too-charming Ike slowly takes over Marty's life, even moving into Marty's Hamptons home and taking over his family business. The series explores how a seemingly normal doctor and patient dynamic morphs into an unprecedented, exploitative relationship filled with manipulation, power grabs, and dysfunction at its finest. These two together on screen will be good fun to watch. I'm not the biggest Will Ferrell fan, but I do rather like Paul Rudd. It'll be the first time that they've done something together on screen since Anchorman and Anchorman 2. Rudd, of course, have been playing Ant-Man and the brilliant Netflix series Living With Yourself. Ferrell has spent a lot of last year playing Ron Burgundy again. He popped up on a bunch of US chat shows. And also, he's got a movie called Eurovision coming out, which is, I'm assuming, based around the Eurovision Song Contest, which seems like his sort of thing to do a comedy based around that. And he's got a pile of other stuff in post-production, and he's producing on things as well. So, I think it could be quite good fun to see these two together, and particularly in this sort of psychiatrist-doctor-patient dynamic, could be entertaining.
Yeah, it could be an interesting idea. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't dislike Will Ferrell, but if he's in something that's good, I'll watch it. But I'm quite a big fan of Paul Rudd, and like you said, Ant-Man and Living With Yourself were really great as well. And obviously his MCU involvement and things has been really, really good. So I'm looking forward to, and Friends as well, which I finished more recently than probably everybody else. But
he's one of those he's one of those people you completely forget was in Friends. You're like,
yeah. Played a fairly big role, but
he did. He played. Well. He was Phoebe's final boyfriend, wasn't he, before the series ended. So yes, but yeah, there's all sorts of faces that pop up in Friends when you go back and watch it. It's very funny.
But I haven't used Apple TV Plus since around about December, whenever the morning show ended, so this might get me back in with that. There's things on there I could watch, things like C, and there's the Aaron Paul show and some other stuff, but obviously I've had other things to watch. But sounds like a good idea.
Definitely. Apple TV has got some good stuff on it. It's kind of limited because there is the issue that there isn't a lot of other stuff on there as well, like there is with Netflix or Amazon, but it is cheaper as well. But it is worth getting, even if it's only for a few months, so you can binge your way through The Morning Show and through C, and you can go and watch For All Mankind as well. There's some really good stuff on there, and the Aaron Paul thing, which is really good. So there is some good, interesting, fun stuff on there. It has got enough for you to kind of justify getting it for a few months and then turning it off again until the next season of Morning Show comes out, basically.
Yeah.
So that's all the news for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week, we have Stumptown finally landing over here on Alibi. This is on the 29th of April at 9 p.m. This is the Colby Smulders show, which I'm sure you've been seeing trailing around. It's based on a graphic novel series. I'm quite looking forward to this. It looks like it could be quite good fun, and Colby's quite good fun. Again, it's another bubble show, so it may not get renewed, but we'll see.
Yeah, so a few of those are like Zoe's Playlist, Stumptown, I think Manifest, you said, and Emergence, all kind of these network shows that we're sort of enjoying that could get, and Good Girls as well, which obviously hasn't come back for its third season over here yet. I think this will be the first time I've used Alibi. I don't think I've used it for something before.
I used to watch Rizzoli and Isles on there, and Castle, I think, was on there. So there were a few things I've watched on there. It has got some good stuff on Alibi. But yes, this was an odd place for it to pop up. It seems slightly out of their wheelhouse, but I'm just fine. As long as it's airing somewhere, that's all I really care about. So yes, that's coming, Stumptown on Alibi on the 29th of April at 9 p.m. for that. Station 19, Season 3, that starts on the 29th of April at 10 p.m, which is a crossover with Grey's Anatomy. So that will be coming on the 29th. You've then got Code 404, which is this new Sky One original comedy that's coming on the 29th at 10 p.m. as well. Stars Stephen Graham and Daniel Mays as two detectives whose lives are changed when Daniel Mays' character is basically replaced by an AI. He dies on the job and then gets brought back to life because he's deemed that he's too valuable to lose. I have seen the first episode of this on a preview thing. It is very funny, and Stephen Graham and Daniel Mays are fabulous actors, and it's really interesting. I do want to see more of it. So it's one worth going to watch. But yeah, that's Code 404. That's on 29th of April at 10 p.m. on Sky One. Medici the Magnificent, that is back for its third and final season on the 1st of May on Netflix. This is the third part of the Medici series, and it's also the final part as well. Hollywood, that's also coming on Netflix on the 1st of May. This is the new Ryan Murphy series, which is sort of set in an alt history version of Hollywood in the 1940s. And it's sort of the birth of Hollywood, but if it had been a bit more kind of open to people of different genders and races and that sort of stuff. So it's sort of playing around with this alt history of Hollywood. That looks really good. And it's a Ryan Murphy series, so you know it's going to be worth giving a watch. I think that's a miniseries, and it's a one-off, I think. But it's 8 episodes, and that's going to be one worth watching, I think. Upload, which is a show you might not have heard a huge amount about. This is coming to Amazon Video on the 1st of May. Stars Robbie Amell in a sci-fi comedy. It's from Greg Daniels, who was co-creator of Parks and Rec with Mike Sir, who was the man behind The Good Place, so you know that the writing quality is going to be good. He also worked on The Office. It's where humans can be chosen to be uploaded into a virtual afterlife when they find themselves near death. So that's the sort of premise of it. It looks like it's going to be really interesting and different. It could be a really solid show. I haven't seen anything of it yet, but I like Robbie Amell and I really like Greg Daniels. So I think this is one going to be worth trying to watch 1st of May on Amazon for that. And then there is Trying, which comes to Apple TV Plus on the 1st of May as well. Stars Ray Spall and Esther Smith. It's their first, I think, original UK production for Apple. Follows Jason and Nikki, who want a baby but are having problems to conceive. I think it's a comedy or a sort of comedy dramedy thing, but it could be one to look out for as well. That's on the 1st of May on Apple TV. And that's everything for this week. So lots of stuff to get into. If they want to find out more from you, where can they go?
Entertainmenttalk.org is, of course, the website where you can find everything that we've got. You can also, of course, search for Entertainment Talk on podcast services and that. Twitter, eTalkUK, if you want to get in touch or find out when things get posted, because obviously they get posted through there. Lots and lots of stuff still to do. I know some seasons of TV and stuff are finishing, but of course there's a bunch of stuff still coming out, so keep your eyes on that as well.
Yes. So we recently finished Better Call Saul. That's up on there. We are still doing Westworld at the moment, and Walking Dead we finished a few weeks ago, but that will be back whenever it's back. which we don't know yet, but hopefully it's later on in the year. We'll have to wait and see. Still doing Westworld at the moment. That's going out on Wednesdays, so you can go and catch that on Entertainment Talk. Of course, for other people as well, you can also go onto twitch.tv/TristaBytes. You can find Bex over there doing daily streams, and she's sometimes just chatting, lots of retro gaming stuff, lots of just looking through nostalgia things, and I think, as I say, she's been streaming Doom Eternal as well a little bit, so you can check her out most days from around about 1 p.m. Go and check TristaBytes with a Y. You can find that. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. Everybody stay safe. Make sure you wash your hands. Phone your elderly relatives. Make sure everybody's okay and they don't need anything. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.